Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears may through thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts, they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Just as there are no two children that are ever the same, even if they are identical twins, there are no two disciples that are the same. Just listen to this passage that we just have read from the gospel. Andrew is very commendable in his outgoing attitude toward his brother Peter. We have found the Messiah. Can't you hear the excitement in his voice? In a similar vein, Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see." On the other hand, we hear Nathanael, after being told by Philip about Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael responds by saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Wow, what a statement. I don't care what town you come from, just insert the name of your town there. Can anything good come out of? Whew. Diversity in these disciples. And yet in our passage this morning, we see a distinctive picture of Jesus and a description of these first disciples as they encounter Jesus, providing further reflection on the nature of what it means to be a disciple, a follower, a student of the Lord Jesus. So my first point is the focus on these first disciples which Jesus called. Andrew. Well, before I speak about Andrew, our passage speaks about John the Baptist, who said in the presence of Andrew and one other disciple, "Behold the Lamb of God." This same message was said earlier in John 1:29, where John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John repeats this statement about Jesus in the hearing of two disciples, one Andrew and one other unnamed disciple. It's important to recognize that John the Baptist did not make this statement of Jesus out of his own mind or his own opinion or some epiphany he made up by himself. John received this as a part of God's revelation to him. John was told by God that the one on whom the Spirit descended on like a dove and remained on is the Messiah, the Son of God. And so as John was baptizing Jesus, that very thing happened, as well as a voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." As Andrew hears these words from John, he receives them as God's truth about the Messiah. And he goes directly to Jesus, and the Lord says to the two disciples, "What are you seeking?" The two disciples respond by saying, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Jesus then said, "Come, and you will see." Notice in this passage, it shows a line of outreach. John the Baptist identifies Jesus and tells two disciples, and these two disciples tell other friends, and on the witness is added to and multiplied. Friends reaching friends about the Lord Jesus. That's a straight line of application from the first century to the 21st century. Friends telling friends about Jesus. For crying out loud, if you brag up a restaurant, or you brag up your auto mechanic, why wouldn't you do the same thing about God? Brag him up and tell people what he's done for you and what you believe about this one, Jesus. Andrew introduces Peter to Jesus as Messiah. And so we see in Andrew a model of evangelism and outreach. Throughout the Gospel of John, Andrew reaches out to other people as well. He brings a young boy with a small lunch in the beginning of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Andrew also brought a group of Greeks who had approached Philip to meet Jesus during the week of Palm Sunday and Jesus' trial and death. And so in these incidences of Peter, the young boy, and the Greek man who wanted to see Jesus, we see Andrew gifted by the Lord with this gift that we call evangelism, who has a proclivity and an inclination to introduce and bring people to the Lord. I'm not talking about converting them. I'm talking about them physically bringing them into the presence of Jesus. Now our application is slightly different because Jesus isn't here in bodily form. But we can introduce people in the same way. And as I was thinking, as we were singing In Christ Alone, what a better summary of the incarnation. God became flesh, the fullness of God in helpless babe. That's what we believe about Jesus, who's God and man. Jesus had said to Andrew, "Come and you will see." And although Andrew doesn't use these exact words to Peter, he is responsible for bringing Peter to Jesus to introduce his brother to the Lord. He is practicing this same come and see approach. Andrew says to Simon Peter, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Let me make this point of application. Andrew is called a disciple of John the Baptist in John 1, 35 and 37. In John 1, 38, our text says that these two disciples were following Jesus and they called him Rabbi. Traditionally, the students of a Jewish rabbi literally walked behind their teacher. Our Lord's disciples followed after him physically, but their following has more in the meaning in its view. Following the Lord Jesus will take on deeper meaning as they submit and entrust themselves to Jesus to lead them in their thinking of him and their obedience to him, as difficult as that may be. I've said it before in sermons and I'll say it again. You got to follow Jesus as he is, not the road you wanted him to have for you. Right now, I have a 48-year-old nephew who has suffered an intensive injury. Where he's going to be a year or 2 years from now, I don't know. He didn't want this. I didn't want this. Nobody wanted him. That introduces us to a tough life lesson. Being a follower of Jesus is not about you telling the Lord what you want. It's about following what God's will is, even as that mystery takes you down dark roads. And then the metal's really tested. Kind of similar to like when the day all of us who got married said, "For better or for worse." And 10 years later, you wake up and say, "Oh, I didn't know what that meant." Same thing with Jesus. "Oh, I didn't know it meant that." "Yeah, it did." Peter, at one occasion, when he hears Jesus talking about his death and trial, Peter says, "May it never be." Jesus says to him, putting him in his place, "Get behind me, Satan." Yet we can say for all of Peter's forwardness, At least he's willing to listen to this rebuke, and he didn't just walk off. So it's not about whether you know everything that's going to happen. It's whether you're willing to follow. They also didn't want to hear the part about washing the disciples' feet or being the least among their brothers. These were all hard teachings. But if they were truly Christ's disciples, they were to follow Jesus' teachings, especially when it went against the grain of their comfort zone. That really tests your mettle. Anybody can say, I'm a follower. Are you a follower or are you like a Faraday fan? Anybody can vote for a World Series champions in the middle of the eighth inning of the last game when it's obvious they're going to win. You willing to follow Jesus when life isn't so rosy? That is what tests your mettle. Next, we come to Philip and Nathanael. John 1, 45 and 46 says this, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Philip is in line with Andrew in that he reaches out to Nathanael and explicitly says to Nathanael, "Come and see this one of whom Moses and the prophets wrote." And Philip is not discouraged, even with Nathanael's skeptical comment. Many a person might rebuke their friend for such a statement that Nathanael made, but Philip is not deterred from his desire for Nathanael to directly encounter the Lord and persists in the invitation, come on, just come and see. He is urging his friend Nathanael, come and see for yourself. Just don't take my word for it. Despite Nathanael's negative but honest statement about Jesus and the place where he was raised as a child, he does go ahead and act on Philip's invitation. His skepticism is overcome as he comes to the presence of the Lord and is awestruck by our Lord's foreknowledge that he saw Nathanael under the fig tree. Although we don't have our Lord's insight into people's hearts, we need to apply Philip's persistence and compassion for Nathanael to our lives as we seek to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be put off if they react with cold indifference or skepticism. We need to continue to love and respect them and pray that God would open their hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus as Savior. Brings me to my second point, the distinctive picture of Jesus. The first picture is that of Jesus as the Lamb of God. This has its background in the Passover Lamb of Exodus 12. As the children of Israel were about to be delivered from Egypt to the promised land, the angel of God passed over when it saw the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts. Its background also has its image in the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. Such imagery portrays the servant's active role in voluntarily suffering as a substitute to rescue others from their sin and render them righteous. Let us be reminded of these precious truths from Isaiah 53. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ, by his death, purchased our salvation with the blessing of the forgiveness of our sins and justification before God. So Jesus is pictured as the Lamb of God. Jesus is also pictured as the one promised in the law of Moses and the prophets. This saying that Jesus came as the one promised in the law and the prophets is repeated a number of times throughout the Gospels. And while I wish I could be a fly on the wall and could know more in detail the Old Testament passages that either the Gospel writers had in mind or the passages that Jesus may have made reference to as he taught these disciples, I believe it is accurate to infer the themes already mentioned in John 1. John has already mentioned the Lord Jesus being the Lamb of God. This sacrificial theme is clarified after Jesus' death, as the apostles come to see Jesus as our great high priest who sacrificed himself on the cross. All the Old Testament priests sacrificed something other than themselves. They sacrificed animals. But when Messiah comes, he does not sacrifice another but himself. Jesus says later in John's gospel, I lay down my life only to take it up again. Hint, hint, Jesus voluntarily dies and he's brought to life by his own power. Jesus then is both priest and sacrifice for our sins once and for all by his death on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, and that one last picture of Jesus is that of Son of Man and King of Israel. This passage also speaks of the Messiah, which means the anointed King, the Christ. John 1:41, Andrew identifies Jesus as Messiah, and Nathanael calls Jesus Son of God and King of Israel. Jesus answers to Nathanael in John 1:50 and 51, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This title, Son of Man, harkens back to Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, which says this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. This speaks of a man of a heavenly origin who would usher in the kingdom of God. And so who was Daniel speaking of? The Lord Jesus the Christ. In another Old Testament prophecy found in Genesis 28:1-15, Jacob dreamed of a ladder connecting earth to heaven upon which the angels of God were ascending and descending. Jesus is the fulfillment of this ladder who unites earth to heaven. And therefore, this Son of Man, who accomplishes union and reconciliation between humanity and God. The fullness of God in helpless babe. May we be Christ's followers of him who is our sacrificial lamb, the one promised in the law of the prophets, and our King. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, help us by your grace to dwell and peer into the wonders of your divine mercy, evident in the coming of your Son into the world. We also thank you for your work evident through the members of your church, both past and present. Help us to respond with holy reverence and joy to the holy calling of your word and the promises of your gospel, given to us in your only begotten Son, the only Lord and Savior for the whole world. This we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.